Yeah. I wanna be a billionaire. I ain't getting no sleep till I see a milli every week. Yeah. I wanna be a billionaire. I ain't getting no sleep till I see a billy every week. I wanna be a billionaire. Billionaire, I wanna be a billionaire. Billionaire, I wanna be a billionaire. I ain't getting no sleep.
Ladies and gentlemen, how you doing? Welcome to another episode of Sleep is for Billionaires, the podcast. I am your host, Johnny Vegas. Now today, it's a super special moment for a few reasons. One, I got a good friend of mine. I knew him for a very long time. And not only that, this is the 100th episode of Sleep is for Billionaires, the podcast. It's been a long and strong grind, ladies and gentlemen. So thank you for rocking with me. Make sure you like and subscribe to the YouTube channel. Now, yes, today, sir. I got my guy. He's a battle rap legend. He's a video director. And he also hosts his own cooking show, for Christ's sakes. Ladies and gentlemen, my main man, Far Num, was really good.
Bro. Hey, it's a pleasure to be on the show, man. I appreciate the invite.
Oh, man. Likewise, man. Long overdue, man. You know what I'm saying? But sure. I'm glad I finally had you here, man. How you doing, brother?
I'm good, bro. You know what I'm saying? Living, cooking, grinding, bro. Everything that needs to be is being done. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, man, congrats on the cooking show, man. I watch that joint all the time, man. I get nice and toasted, watch that show, and then tell my girl to get ass in the kitchen.
Oh, man, there you go, bro. Hey, we make it. We make the food to inspire. We make it to, you know what I'm saying, get the cravings up, and this quarantine across the world. So, you know, I'm just trying to get people in that kitchen, get them cooking since you can't go out to eat. We get that gourmet food at home, you feel me?
Right. Well, you're definitely doing a great job, my brother, man. I mean, so as you know, this show is about getting insider information for those looking to become, you know, industry professionals. And I consider you an industry professional. You've been in the industry for quite some time. So, you know, I kind of wanted to pick your brain about, you know, what, you know, especially in this day and age, in the 2020 era, you know, what does people have to do to kind of get into the industry and kind of really stay relevant, you know? But before we get into all that, you know, tell the people, you know, where you from, you know, and how you got into music. Like, when did you fall in love with hip-hop?
Yeah, definitely. So, I mean, I'm born and raised Tampa Bay, Florida. You know what I'm saying?
81 Trey.
Yes, sir. 813-727 since I was a sperm, bro. Yeah, man. So my older brother was 10 years older than me, and he was really into like battle rap when it first started coming out, like when 8 Mile dropped. So like him and all his boys were into it. And I was a
smack
jit, bro.
DVDs probably, like, and all of that.
9, 10. Yeah, bro. A little kid, and him and his friends were doing it. And I just got into it. Became like close with a dude who was battling back in the day, and he just kind of like put me under the wing, and I just kind of took off and did my own thing from there. Did the battle rap. I was like the world's youngest battle rapper. I was on World Star when I was like 13, 14 years old.
Wow.
Yeah, like crazy stuff. Like I was like 13, 14 years old on Twitter and had like Alchemist and like Polly Malignaggi reaching out to me and just in my DMs like, yo, keep grinding, keep doing your thing. So that was wild. And then I just kept doing it. You know what I mean? Throughout like middle school, high school, I was getting offers to like fly all over the place. And I was so young that my mom was just like, yo, you can't just like fly to Australia. You're like 15 years old.
You got school tomorrow.
Yeah, man. So I was in my bag about that. But I turned 18, took a couple flights, caught a couple bodies out on the West Coast. And that was fun, man. But I started losing the hunger behind it. You know what I mean? I used to get on stage and it was the craziest feeling. I never experienced it before, but like, you know, when you like taking a shit and your leg goes to sleep after a while and you're like,
every day.
Bro, your whole body used to feel like that. Like I would get on stage, I get this crazy adrenaline rush and it just stopped happening and the hunger wasn't there no more. So I started.
Why do you think that happened though? You know what I'm saying? Cause usually with this type of dream, you know, when it comes to music, like people literally kill themselves to be involved in that. And you just had it. And then you was just like, man, I don't even want it no more. Like, where do you think that came from?
Yeah, man. I don't know, bro, because I was putting up great numbers, dude. I had a good following, a lot of fans, but I just started, I don't know, maybe like my personal life, you know, when I was doing the battle rap stuff as such a kid, I was kind of an outcast. Like kids used to make fun of me at school and shit. And they didn't realize like I'm like 15, getting like 100,000 views on YouTube and Worldstar. Like, they didn't even realize what I was actually doing. Yeah. So I had my time. And I don't know, dude, I got a personal life. You know what I'm saying? You get older, you get a girlfriend, you get into that. And there was a lot that went behind the battles. And I don't know, man, maybe personal life. But I think more so it was just me falling in love with making music. Like, mm-hmm. I knew I could battle. I was really good at it. I won almost every battle I was ever in. But music, I always knew that there was like a lot of growth that had to happen. And then I linked up with my boy Mixed by Lex. And he was like the real first engineer I'd ever like worked with, like in a real studio. My boy Hollow to Don, it's crazy. My boy Hollow to Don actually booked the session because he wanted me to re-record a song so we could try to sell it to like people in Drake's camp.
Yeah.
It was wild. So I met Lex there, man, and me and him became like best friends. And, you know, he's like an incredible engineer doing stuff for like huge, huge artists around the world now. But my music got crazy. I fell in love with that. I was grinding hard with that. I was in the studio with DJ Khaled, Troy Ave, Lil Yachty. Like, I could name drop all day. You know what I mean? But yeah. It was cool, bro. I really immersed myself in that world. I was in my young 20s. I grew a lot. Started doing like R&B stuff, singing stuff, the sing rap shit, the auto-tune thing. I did all that. And I don't know, man. Few years passed by. I was like popping. I was doing super great. And then I met my girl, you know, fell in love and just kind of like put it on the back burner. And I ain't really had the desire to do it since. So.
Yeah, it'd be like that sometimes, man. You know, when you find something good and it just feels good, feels right. You're just going with the flow, living life, man. It's like, you know, you start appreciating what's really more important, which is, you know, finding that companion. And building the future and the empire together. You know what I'm saying? It sounds like you at that point in your life. So that's what's up, man. That's what's up. What do you think about the stigma when people talk about how battle rappers can't make songs and all of that? Because it sounds like at the point in time where you fell in love with making music as opposed to just battle rapping, you kind of diversed and really, you know, sharpened your sword when it came to the writing music aspect of things and really did well for yourself. But some people don't really get to that point. They just kind of try to make songs. And they do battle rap verses with these whack ass hooks and songs and it's just trash. So what's your take on that?
It's crazy because you know what? Until you said that, bro, I completely forgot about that stigma. Like, I remember being on this forum back in the day that all the battle rappers were on. And they would post their music and they'd all be like, oh, they say battle rappers can't make music. And it was all trash. But I definitely, when I was making that transition, was definitely a factor. You know what I mean? I feel like I always had the concept of how to separate like a battle verse from writing like a hook and a dope verse and a song. I just really needed, without an engineer, you're nothing. You know what I'm saying? As an artist, like, you ask any huge artist out there and they're nothing without their engineer, you know, except for maybe people like Usher or like super talented singers and stuff like that. But you need that engineer, man. And once me and Lex started working together, I was like, oh, we're out of here, man. It's over. So the stigma definitely probably pushed me in the beginning. And then I completely like separated myself from it and forgot about it. But there's some incredible battle rappers that make music. I really like Sue Surf stuff.
Jersey.
He just be talking real shit on them beats, man. So I can appreciate that.
Who's your top five battle rappers out right now?
Oh, man.
Of all time, you know, because I'm not sure if you keep up with new ones.
Yeah, man. I mean, I might be biased because I'm friends with all of them, but I would definitely say, you know, Hollow to Don is one. Mook. I don't know, bro. I've always loved A-Verb. I think A-Verb is super dope. Okay. Back like in the URL TV come up days, man. He was one of the first dudes who like was able to separate like filler bars. Like he'd be the only dude like an 8-bar scheme. And instead of just like filler bar with the rhyming word, it was like punchline, punchline, setup, punchline. Like he was like the first one to really take it there, man. So A-Verb for me is definitely on that Mount Rushmore. Disaster is up there. And then I don't know, bro. There's so many like incredible battle rappers. But if I just had to throw another one up there, I love Conceited, man. Conceited is my boy. And okay, he definitely reinvented the wheel as far as battle rap goes. He was the first dude that came in that was just punchline.
That was like, ridiculous, bro.
Yeah, Khan's nuts, man. And people don't know this, but, you know, Khan came out on the Grind Time West Coast battles way back in the day. They did this thing called the Jungle in Stockton. And he was on there with Fox and QP and Tall T and all them, Heartless. And before he did that, he was actually judging battles from Grind Time in Orlando, like when it first started. So
yeah,
like Khan's been around forever, man. And he really showed up and just reinvented it. He stepped on the scene and just killed it.
Killed it, huh? That's what's up, yeah, man. Hell yeah. Nah, I love Khan, man. I love watching him do those freestyles about the jerseys he has in his closet. Like, this, yeah, that type of creativity is just like, wow. Like, his pen game is unmatched.
And he's just like one of the most humble dudes I've ever met. Like, super cool. Like, if I ever see him, it's always love. You know what I mean? No matter how big he gets or what he's doing or what TV show he's on, he's always mad cool. So, big respect.
That's what's up. So now when we first met, you know what I'm saying? You was into the music, you was doing all that, but you was also a student. And I wanted to touch on that because, you know what I'm saying? You know, when we grow up, we have these dreams of being rappers, and parents are always telling us have that backup plan. And, you know, because, you know, music is so uncertain for people. You know, it's like hitting the lottery. You know what I mean? So I want you to explain one, you know, you was in medical school and a lot of people would just stick to that path, you know, but during our conversation earlier, you say you kind of took a detour as well. So, you know, one, I want you to explain the importance of having a backup plan, but two, I also want you to explain why did you detour your attention from actually going the school route?
Yeah. So, I've always been, I mean, even though I hated the busy work, man, I've always been like really into learning, you know, and education, and not even so much like a formal education, but just learning things, like even stuff that you can, you know, input into your real life or whatever it is. Always been like a science nerd and all that stuff. So, I mean, that, of course, that fits with battle rappers and rapping, because you got to be like intelligent and to be able to put those things together. You know what I mean? So those went hand in hand. But I've always been somebody who, you know, my parents grew up like really poor. Like, I remember being a JIT and my mom having to get like the brakes on her car done and she couldn't afford it. It was like $80. And we're like sitting in the mechanic shop and she's crying because she can't afford it. You know what I'm saying? So, I knew whatever I was going to do in life, I wanted to, back at the time, like $100,000 a year was like a crazy thought, you know what I mean? But that was like what I strive for. Like, I want to make that, like, that's the end goal. So I'm no dummy. I know that, you know, it's one in a million to, if you want to like blow up and be a famous rapper or whatever the case may be. And there's tons of rappers that blow up and they don't even have $1 million. You know what I'm saying? They get locked in these weird contracts and stuff. So I definitely, you know, I was good in school. I enjoyed it. So while I was doing the music on the side, I was like, you know, let me go into this. I really enjoyed the idea of, was entertained by the idea of, you know, chiropractics. So I was in college. I had like a full ride and I was gonna, you know, dive into that and do chiropractics. And I was probably like 2021, and I left my job that I was at, and I was at the studio every day at that point, you know, in school. So it was like school. I remember I would like stay up all night at the studio to like link up with like, I remember one time it was Kevin Gates, man. And I was in the studio till like 9 or 10 a.m. with Lex, because we were waiting on Kevin Gates. He was recording and he came out. We chopped it up. We talked about the albums and stuff. And right from there, I had to go straight to my class. You know what I mean? So it was like, I didn't even sleep. So it was literally like studio school work. So I left work. And then I was just like, man, I'm going to have to get another job. And Lex, my boy Lex, was just like, bro, like, you're in the studio all the time. And like, you know, you bought this camera to shoot videos for yourself and your boy. He's like, why don't you just do it for the clients in the studio? And like at that point, the thought of, you know, being an entrepreneur was like crazy to me because it was right. Like, man, I like there's no guaranteed money. Like, I don't, you know what I'm saying? Like that. I never even entertained the thought. I was like, nah, bro, I ain't doing that. I'm just going to get like a better paying regular job, you know? And he was like, bro, like you're in here every day. Like everybody wants a music video. Why don't you do this? So I was like, all right, you know what? I got a little bit of money saved up. I'm going to do it. So I started shooting videos and I was like, oh, damn, I really like this. And the pay was good. You know, I'd have to work like 4 or 5 days at my regular job to make what I'm making one day shooting a video. And I was
like, a couple hours.
Right. That's what I'm saying, you know, and I was talented at it. I was good at it. Again, like I'm kind of nerdy. So I enjoy, you know, on the computer, the editing.
Yeah, the editing process. Yeah,
exactly. So I started doing that. And that's when I got my real first taste of entrepreneurship, like making my own schedule, you know, being able to just. It's kind of almost like a commission based job. Like you can make as much money as you want. You just got to earn it. You know what I mean? Right. So if I want to lock in and knock out 10 videos in a month, you know what I'm saying? At the time I can make like 5-6 grand, which was unheard of for the job that I had.
Right.
So I started grinding with that. And then after about, you know, 6 months to a year, I was like, well, damn, like I'm almost able to make $100,000 doing this right now. You know what I mean? Like, why am I going to have like student debt and spend the next 8 to 10 years of my life doing, you know, going to med school and then doing like a residency and an intern and like doing all that when I'm going to make the same amount of money. And in my mind, I'm like, well, if that's going to take me 10 years and I'm almost making that now, like how much could I be making 10 years from now if I'm just getting better?
Exactly.
So I was just like, well, if I trade my full ride in, they'll shoot me some bread. Like, you know, I can exchange it for money. And I was like, and then I can just rock with this and grind with this, do my music, do these videos. So that's what I did. So they threw me a chunk of change. I swapped out my, you know, my credit hours and I bought more gear for my camera, up my prices up. And then I was just grinding with that. And I literally just stopped. Like last week, I told all my clients, like, I'm done because my YouTube started taking off. So now I'm doing that full time.
Well, congratulations on that. Yeah. That's an amazing story on how you just, you know, you had that light bulb of entrepreneurship. I mean, shout out to Alex for giving you that jewel. Like, yo, do this.
No, and
just took you there, man.
I'm indebted to that man, bro. He always be asking me, he's like, yo, I'll pay you to come film or take. I'm like, dude, no. Like,
so you done. You selling that equipment?
Nah, because I actually use the equipment and all the things I've learned over the years to film my show. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yo, let me ask you before we continue. That YouTube plaque behind you, was that you? Is that you right there?
Nah, bro. That's a million. I'm on the way, though. That's my girl.
Oh, you're on the way. That's your girls. Yep. That's your girls thing? Yep. That's what's up, man. Yep. Hell yeah. Hell yeah. How before we get into the cooking show, how'd you two meet? Cause that was you popped out of nowhere. Like you was gone from Instagram for a minute. I ain't see you post nothing in like 2 years. And then you pop up with a girl. I'm like, oh snap. And then I click on, she got a million followers. I'm like, oh snap. He living in LA. Oh snap. Like, what's good? What's good? Talk to me.
Crazy, man. So obviously, you know, I'm at the studio all the time. I'm shooting these videos. I met this dude and I ended up shooting a few videos for him, and his wife at the time was my girl now. So we had worked together. I shot a few videos for him. I met her in the process. And then, you know, me and him, it was, we just kind of like fell apart, you know what I'm saying? And they got a divorce and she needed somebody to shoot her videos for her. So she reached out to me because she had seen my work. I had worked with her for a few months at that point. And then, you know, from there, it just kind of like turned into what it turned into. You know what I mean? Both caught feelings and we are where we are now, you know?
Well, you seem happy, man. Every picture y'all take together is just so, so awesome, man. So it's like, it's so cool, man. So did she kind of like, you know, school you on how the YouTube game worked that helped you, you know, you took like, you basically picked her brain to kind of get your YouTube popping as well?
Yeah, honestly, bro, not even, man, because when we moved to LA, so we had moved to LA for like 4 or 5 months last year because there was some construction going on over here. So we were out there and my main client that I was filming for was like, yo, if you're out there, like we're going to have to find somebody else. And I wasn't about to leave my girl, you know what I mean? For like 4 or 5 months at a time, like
yeah,
that wasn't in the card. So I was just like, hey, I'm sorry, but you know, this is what I got to do. And they're like, okay, say no more, no hard feelings. So they hired somebody. And again, I was in that position where I was like, okay, like what's the next play? You know what I mean? It's almost like I ended up in that spot that I was at last time because all my clients were in Florida. I was in Cali. So I was like entertaining a few ideas and I was running them by her. And then I love to cook for her. I've been, you know what I'm saying? Like that's her love language, bro. I make her like amazing food and, you know, she's all butterflies and stuff. She's like, well, why don't you cook? And I was like, what do you mean? She's like, do a YouTube channel where you cook. And I was just like, hell no. Cause I had such a sour taste in my mouth from like all the stuff that she had gone through over the years with YouTube and just like the kind of negativity that like bleeds into your regular life from YouTube. And I was like, oh no way. Like I'm not even going to entertain that. And then she just kind of kept like pushing me. She's like, just try one, just do it once, just film a video and put it up. And I was like, all right. So I did it with the full intent of never doing it again. Like if you watch it, I even say in the video, I'm like, hey, this is probably a one and done, but I'm just going to try and see what happens. And yo, it was crazy. I got like 75,000 views in like a day. And I was just like, whoa. So I was like, okay, like, let's see what happens, you know? And then I started grinding them out and I got like 7 or 8 videos in. The channel was growing crazy. You know, I had yo hit like 300K. And I didn't even have 10 videos up, you know what I mean? Wow. So like subscribers are growing, my daily views are going, that ad revenue's going. I'm like, okay, like let's go. And then bro, COVID hits.
Dang.
And I have a crew that comes and films for me. You know, they use all my equipment, but I have to have people like helping the lighting and the other cameras. And I was, you know, and it was like real bad at the time. We didn't know what was going on. So I was like, yo, we're gonna have to fall back. We'll pick this up. There's more important things in the world going on. And then that kind of died down and people started coming back to YouTube. And then the George Floyd thing happened. And I, you know what I'm saying? Like a lot of my best friends were really like impacted by that whole situation. And it just didn't feel like,
it was a time for entertainment.
I'm back. Yeah, man. Like there was so much going on. We had, you know, the riots in Tampa, you know, I had went to all those, the Black Lives Matter things, you know, I had to show up and show out. Just to, you know, just support my friend, bro. Like, you have to understand, like, I'm part of the hip hop community, bro. Like when all the white kids at my school were making fun of me, bro, all my Black friends and my Hispanic friends and my Latin friends, like they put me under their wing. Like, you know, I was, you know, they held me down. So, you know, when it comes to their lives and just all that, bro, like I got nothing but support and love and respect. So, you know, it just didn't feel appropriate for me, man. Cause you know, I'm not a Black dude, but I felt that one, you know, felt that. So, it just didn't feel right. It didn't feel appropriate, but you know, a few months had gone by after that, you know, things got hot and they cooled down. And, I was at the point where I was like, all right, we're back in Tampa. I went so many months without working with those clients that I was just like, I don't want to do it anymore, period. Like, I really want to do the YouTube thing. So I set myself a goal. Like, if I can make as much in 1 month off YouTube as I could do with them, I'm done with filming. And I'd say we just hit that like last week. So
full-time YouTube, baby. Yeah. Congratulations, dog. Yeah. I love it, man. You know what I'm saying? And that's a great story, brother, because there's so many people out there that's like really at a loss with how to make a YouTube channel successful. So, you know, I really want you to kind of, if you can, you know, share those secrets on what
does
it take to have that successful YouTube channel, even with the SEOs and the keywords and stuff like that, to the thumbnail, you know, how presentable that has to be. Just kind of share that.
Some back end on my part. I would say definitely whatever you're doing, try to be unique in your own way. You know, there's a ton of cooking channels out there. I'm a small fish in a big pond right now. There's guys out there with 10 million subscribers, you know? And I made sure that there were aspects of the videos that I was doing that I made sure they set me apart from everybody else. Like, even if it's little things, you know, from the way I do my B-roll to my taste testers, like I just added aspects to my videos that are not in other people's videos in the same realm. So that's one thing. Be unique. Again, consistency. man, I tell you, I was raking up crazy views. And then because of COVID and the whole thing that went on, I took off for 6 months and I came back, bro. And my views went from like here to here. Like YouTube, wow. Like was like, give me the backhand, bro. Like they're like, nah, you need to come back. So I had to grind. And now I'm getting back to the point where it's like, I'm growing really good. So consistency is key. So you got uniqueness or a unique aspect, consistency. You got to make sure that quality is good. You know what I'm saying? Like I'll be real. Cheap cameras nowadays are still good. You can go out and buy a $500 camera and it's still comparable. It gets by you. It ain't like a Razor from like 2000.
Yeah, a Razor phone. You know what I mean?
Thumbnails, you know what I'm saying? Make sure they're engaging. I'm still testing it out. If you go on, I love doing this kind of stuff because again, this is the nerd part of me. Mm-hmm. You go look at all the videos that I've done on my channel. You click on videos, you can literally see me split testing thumbnail ideas. Like they literally go from like one style. I try something, then they switch. So it's like, you will always just be trying new things until you find something that really works. You know what I mean? So definitely with the thumbnails, just keep grinding, keep trying different things. You see what the industry is doing. Just try to mimic that, but make it your own and make them engaging. Obviously the SEO, like you could do the research on all that stuff, the keywords and making all that stuff match. If you guys are trying to do a YouTube channel, make sure you, buy this thing called TubeBuddy, TubeBuddy. I have an extension on my Chrome browser and that thing basically tells you like, it gives you like a rating on your SEO. So like, it tells you like, oh, like your title needs to have the same words in the first line in your description and all those need to be tagged. And it just basically tells you all the things that help the YouTube algorithm, whether you've done them or not. Like if you've pinned a comment or favorited a comment, if it's gotten a share on Facebook, if you have a high quality thumbnail, it's like all these things. So that really helps me out and keeps me, because I'm still doing all that back end stuff myself and just, you know, make sure that I'm hitting everything. I'm dialed in. I'm giving my video the best chance to get optimized and picked up by that YouTube algorithm. So that's another big one. TubeBuddy is definitely really good. I'm trying to think if there's anything else. Oh yeah, of course, collaborate, okay. You know, do a wonderful job on that, bro. You got guests on your show all the time, man.
I can't stop, brother. I can't stop, hey, man. Collaboration, man. That honestly, you know what's crazy? I didn't even think about starting a podcast when I came out here. It was just something that I basically wanted to build a networking pool for myself that would allow people of interest to come to me. So it was just like, okay, let me just build a podcast, tell people I got a podcast and just keep inviting people over that I want to network with. And every time they come, I just start picking all these questions I'm asking. It's just me picking people's brains. And after the end of the conversation, we end up doing business together or they end up inviting me to a party or I just end up becoming their friend. You know what I'm saying? And that's really helped me a lot, especially in LA, you know, coming out here, starting off new. So, the collaboration, I definitely agree with you, is a big key.
Yeah, it's huge, man, especially, you know, when you can garner some respect, you know, and you earn that and you put that work and that grit and that grind in and, you know, some bigger people recognize you, you know, they don't have a problem blessing you, you know what I'm saying? And the same goes for me, you know, if like one of my boys who I've been boys with for a long time, like he's starting a YouTube channel and, you know, you already know I'm going to put him on, you know, that's just how it gets, you know, it's like that saying, man, you can either come together and take over the world or, you know, compete and then you only grow half as much. You know what I'm saying? It's just
like, not sometimes not even that far.
Yeah, exactly. So just network and collab and just, you know, build those bridges. And those are probably like the most important things with the YouTube channel, I could say. And it's got to be something you love. It's got to be something you love, something you're passionate about. People feel that, man. Like when I'm on the show and people are eating my food and they're trying it out and I'm in the background like cheesing, looking at them. It's like, that's genuine, man. Like I really do. I feel excited. I feel good when people enjoy my food. So make sure you're
passionate. Yeah, man. I see you opening up a fucking, you're like the next Gordon Ramsay out here, man.
I don't know about all that. Hey, man. I'm humble, bro. I'm humble. Gordon's one of the goats, dude. So,
but you on your way. I said it first, man.
Hey, there you go, bro.
Nah, that's what's up, man. I'm glad to hear that, brother. And yeah, man, I don't think I have any more questions, man. You know, I just want to say, you know, I want to thank you for coming on the show today, blessing me, you know what I'm saying, with this opportunity. Oh, actually, you know, I did have one more question. I know you're in love. I know you're chilling. Life is good. It's great. But do you ever see yourself getting back into music, brother? Because your sound is crazy.
For sure, because one of the big issues was I was so busy with the filming. So it's like, you know, I'm in love. I want to be with my girl when I can be. I got my own business. I got all these clients. I'm grinding. And it's like, I'll be real. Like, my girl is on such a high level, bro. It's so inspiring to me. Like, it makes me want to grind so hard to try to match that. You know what I mean? So it's cool being with somebody that inspires you and makes you just want to like grind and elevate yourself and push, you know? So I was so busy with all that, that I really didn't have time. Honest to God, bro, didn't have time to go to the studio anymore. And I definitely know now that I'm done with this and I got some more time on my hands with the YouTube stuff, now that I'm just doing that, that I'll be able to get back in there. And I definitely got a lot to talk about on those records.
No, so you do, brother. I can't wait to hear it, man.
Yeah. So definitely, I'll definitely be putting music out.
That's what's up. I can't wait to hear it, brother, because you got an amazing sound, man. You know, I still got that one song, Money Lingo, we did. I'm honestly still fine-tuning that, man, because I'm kept saving it for this project I'm releasing next year. So
fire, bro.
It's still in the works. I still got it, man. Still sounding good. You know, I got James on the boards with that. You know what I mean? So,
yes, sir.
But yeah, man, like I said, my brother, I want to thank you for coming on the show today. Let the people know where they could follow you, where they could tune into the show and all that good stuff.
Yeah, facts. I mean, first and foremost, bro, I want to thank you for having me on. Thank you for blessing me with the opportunity to, you know, talk to people from my demographic, my circle and your circle and all over there. So thank you for that. Obviously, I'm pushing the YouTube channel hard right now. If you guys are interested in cooking at all, if you want to make fire food, make it for yourself, your girl, your man, your family, just check out the recipes on More Seasoning. We got some fire flame on there, man, especially for the holidays. I've been cranking out some fire food. So check that out. More Seasoning on Instagram, Farnham Grind Time. And on Facebook, it is Farnham Tampa, because Facebook be like playing with me and my name on there.
Right. Yeah, I see that. I was like, yeah, his last name Tampa too? Dang. My dog, it was a pleasure, man. Always a pleasure to speak to you, man. You know, keep doing your thing. Give my blessings to the lady as well. Yes, sir. You know, we'll be in touch, man. I'm probably going to drop this thing tonight, brother. I'm going to get to editing right now. You know, I'm a nerd on the low.
Yes, sir. Appreciate you, bro. Be safe out there in L.A. and we'll talk soon.
Yeah,
I wanna be a billionaire. I ain't getting no sleep till I see a milli every week. I wanna be a billionaire. I ain't getting no sleep till I see a billy every week. I wanna be a billionaire. Billionaire, I wanna be a billionaire. Billionaire, I wanna be a billionaire.